Hey, man.
Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. It looks like there's been some adjustment to the microphone. I am blowing it out all the time.
How naughty.
Yeah, I should learn how to do this myself. Let me try really quick. What about this? What does this do? If I move this down here, is that gonna... Oh, look. I think I figured it out, maybe. Okay, so yeah, let's just pretend. Oh, no, that's still
You
pretty
know,
bad.
all the files that you've sent me, none have
Yep.
been so terrible.
Oh, okay, great. Then let's just
So just get it where you think it needs to be, and let's motor on.
Okay. Ben Lawrence.
Paul Goody.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
My dad just called, and I of course called to see if he was all right, and he's getting gas in Alton right now.
You aren't supposed to use your cell phone at the gas pump.
And he accidentally called me. He accidentally called me. I called him back, and so really it's my fault probably that he was
Are
using his phone at the gas pump.
certain times of day when I can expect phone calls from my parents. So I know that if I get a phone call that is not during that certain time of day, then it's either an accidental call or somebody in my family has passed away.
Oh no. So far, how many times has the latter happened?
In my entire lifetime?
Yes.
A handful, probably not too many.
Okay,
You know,
interesting, interesting.
we have not had any tragic deaths in my family, but there, you know, every 5 or 6 years, somebody like a grandparent or a great aunt or uncle has passed on.
Oh yeah. Well, I think I may have mentioned this before, but if I haven't,
Your grandmother's died.
I have. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm changing the subject. I apologize. This is changing the subject. I may have talked to you about how I used a hack in real life. You know how a cheat code in real life. How I changed a DVD player from NTSC. Is that what it is? NTSC? Is that? Am I saying that right? What's
Yes,
the NT? From
NTSC.
NTSC to PAL?
Right.
Or from region. I think both. Region 1 to region 2. No, region 2 to region 1. Region 1 is Great Britain. Region 2 is America? Am I right?
I will. I don't think that's true.
Think,
I think Region
or
One
is
is
region one
America.
America and
You know,
Japan, and
because
region two is
America's number
British?
one.
All right, yay, us in Japan, two great tastes. So I changed it to region two and PAL, so that I could watch Utopia. I might have mentioned that before.
Yeah.
I have now done a second cheat code in real life to turn off the maintenance light on my Prius.
By fixing it, I hope.
Here's what happened. The maintenance light comes on whenever you're due for an oil change. And so I went and I got my oil change. And as I was leaving, I noticed that the maintenance light was on and it was completely solid. And the reason for that is that it had been flashing when I would turn it on, but as I was driving home, I reached that point where it has it just go on solid until you get it your oil changed, if that makes sense. Because it wasn't on, because it hadn't been on before, they didn't think to reset it. So I called them, and they're like, "Do you want to come back in and have us reset it?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm halfway between there and home." He's like, "Okay, I'll tell you how to do it." And it was a series of, press this button and then turn your car off and then turn it back on and press this button twice, that kind of thing. I'm not telling you the exact way to do it because I don't know how legal
Well,
it is to do. I think it's probably fine. But you can find it on the internet.
The oil, doing that for the oil light is probably not too bad. In fact, yeah. it sounds more complicated now for the Priuses than it was. Boy, that I guess must have been almost 20 years ago when I worked at Bellevue Cadillac. I did not perform the oil changes myself, but I did watch a couple of guys do it. And back on like a 1998 Cadillac STS, it's just in the menu. You just like you don't have to do any like you know Konami code for the car. You just scroll to the menu and then you reset the oil timer because it's based on it's based on mileage is all it is.
Yeah, so you it's just, a timer you just based
tell,
on mileage.
Yeah, you just tell it that it needs an oil change. Or that it has had an oil change.
But anyway, shout out to Valvoline. That's where I went. And I always like Valvoline. It makes me feel it's the closest I can come to being in space. It's what I think a maintenance asteroid would be like.
The Valvoline oil change?
Yeah, because it's just a whole bunch of guys talking to each other. And, you know, male, female, gender fluid folks all working there. All sorts of, different ethnic backgrounds. And they're all, but I call them guys because they really are like, I am not more of a guy than anybody that's working there. There's a general movement afoot. You may have heard about it. You may have been wrapped up in the controversy sometimes of people, oftentimes women, lobbying for guys to be a gender neutral way of addressing a group of people. I agree with that.
I have not heard that. In fact, I've heard quite the opposite, and that is you can no longer use guys as a gender neutral operative. You're not allowed to say that.
Wow. Now I heard that about bougie, that you can't say bougie anymore.
I don't know about that. Are the bourgeoisie rising up?
Well, here's the thing, and this is again one of those things of white people using slang, but not knowing the full context of the slang.
Right.
The idea, and this is just what I've heard. I cannot prove this. This is what I have been informed by someone who cares about this situation. That the term bougie in the black community was used for people who were trying to act above their station.
Oh, really?
And so when I, as a white person, and keep in mind, I'm not cool, Ben. I'm not hip. I have never, when I, as a white person, I don't mean when I, Paul, use this term, because I have never used the word bougie in my life. I've used the term bourgeoisie. When referring to the film, The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie, but I've never, the whole thing about the birds working for the bourgeoisie, which I think you might have heard Betty say sometimes there's a quote for it.
I've never
used the term bougie myself. So the concept is, though, that if a white person uses it, they're invoking this coded phrase, which was at one point in time used to tell African Americans that they are trying to act above their station. Granted, by other African Americans, often, but that's this installment of Paul Goody Solves Racism.
I did not know that. I did watch a video online from comedian Trey Crowder. You might have heard of him. He's the
he the guy in the redneck, porta potty?
I haven't seen that one, but he's the redneck liberal.
Oh.
And so he's got this he's the redneck liberal. He's got this deep
I'm thinking of a different guy.
He's got this deep Georgia accent, but he's very liberal and progressive. And so he has this series of videos where he talks about different aspects of like classism and racism, and you know, from a Southern liberal perspective.
Yeah.
But I watched one video where he talks about slang for white people. And how, like, cracker, white trash, redneck, you know, why some of these phrases are acceptable and some aren't. And there was something interesting that I'd learned that I'd never thought of before. And that is, when I was growing up, and my sister and I joke about this all the time, we considered ourselves somewhat upper white trash. We were solid middle class, but we did very what we considered white trashy things, which was like when we finished a carton of ice cream, we would throw it out into the backyard and let the dogs finish it off, like lick it clean. And then one of my chores every weekend was to go around the backyard and pick up all these ice cream cartons that were left. But the thing is, the term white trash implies an inherent trashness in other races. And so when you use the term white trash, you're saying, okay, this is an actual, you know, an outlier that needs to be, you know, the word needs to be modified with the word white.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because I had never really, like, considered that before, but now I am considering it.
Yeah, because you're actually holding white people to a higher standard,
exactly,
if you will, yeah, or saying that white people are of a higher class.
Of a higher class. Wherein, when we would say it, it had nothing to do with that. It was, we were actually making fun of other white people in comparing ourselves to them. It had nothing to do with race whatsoever. It was very classist, don't get me wrong. But at the time, it was, you know, we considered it okay to make fun of poor white people.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the big thing for me, lots of times, is that I when I grew up, I had such a small circle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like other white kids from, you know, my small community on the bus were telling me about black people. And you could surmise that their knowledge of black people was pretty slim.
Yeah.
Coming from sources that weren't necessarily that accurate.
Just based on stereotypes maybe gleaned from television and movies?
Television, movies, older relatives, right, that sort of thing. And yeah, so you get all the stereotypes. Spoken with authority, and you as a young, well, me as a young kid growing up, not knowing if those are, and here's the thing, I want to point this out too. I'm not saying that those kids had a massive agenda and that they're like, I'm going to sow disinformation, you know,
right.
We're all kind of in the same boat. We're all learning,
right,
incorrect things and, you know, then they're sending them to me and stuff like that. And none of that works, you know, when it comes to actually learning stuff. And, you know, especially in rural areas in that time, and this is one of the reasons I think why busing was a thing that people tried to do, is you try to get people meeting people of other races, having them in their classes and getting used to them being around and stuff like that. And then you learn stuff. Whereas if you stay in your isolated communities and just talk about the other, quote unquote, you know, you don't, yeah, get a lot of accurate feedback, accurate information, whatever.
Yeah.
All of that to say, I haven't heard of that guy. I was thinking of somebody else. Other things going on in my life right now, I don't know the best way to address it, even if I really need to talk about it on here, but for a while I was working on doing like screenwriting projects and stuff like that, and there was a
the person I was working with. And when it came time for me to stop doing the children's books and start focusing on the work that I'm doing,
yeah,
it was pretty easy because, you know, my agent would just, you know, not ask me if I was doing anything. It would just send me my royalty statement, and then that would be it.
It just ghosted you?
Well, no, not even that. I mean, he's just like, okay, well, this is what it is. Telling somebody else who you've been in a creative partnership with that you don't want to do it anymore, it has turned out to be much, you know, like, well, there are feelings involved.
What are you trying to tell me? Involved.
Well, no, not you, Ben. but you and I haven't been working on screenwriting projects or anything like that. No. But the idea though is,
well, that you was know, the one.
Just saying, I don't want to do this anymore. I need to focus on the work that I'm doing. Stuff, you know, like the actual work I'm doing, stuff like that. Has turned out to not necessarily be the best received message.
Oh, so you already said it? Because I was going to say that, yeah, what you could do is just have them listen to this podcast.
Well, no. And if they are listening to this podcast, interesting. And here's the thing. I'll reiterate the thing that I was saying before. Because my idea is this. I have some certifications I'm trying to get. And I just don't want to write screenplays anymore.
Yeah.
I don't like the back and forth on it. I don't like writing stuff by myself either. I how many times in how many episodes, Ben, have I said, I don't like writing. I actually hate it. It makes me mad all the time.
You don't like writing, but you like having written something.
Right, exactly. But the actual writing part, I greatly dislike.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I was not having any fun, didn't like it.
That's the time to step away.
And, yeah, I said as much. And, you know, the person in question didn't take it that well, but didn't take it like super badly either.
They're not gonna be like standing outside your window on a rainy night holding a knife or anything like that.
Well, the thing was, I thought the conversation was over, and as I was talking, so this is another thing. If you're listening to this podcast, as I was talking to you, doing this podcast part, I got another text, and the text, I didn't read all of it because I can't. And I won't, because it was, again, asking questions about wanting to know more about my decision-making process and all that kind of stuff. And I've already said basically everything I need to say or want to say about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to... If I don't want to do the screenwriting part, what I don't want to do even more is the... talking about why I don't want to do the screenwriting part.
Right.
It's not fun for me. I don't enjoy it. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm hoping that this just can be a thing that's done.
Well, you told him, I'm assuming it's a him, you've told him that... that you no longer want to do this and your reasons why, and so that's all you need to do. If you're not, you haven't entered into any official contract, you're not getting paid, this is something you're doing for fun.
You're right.
So
all of that is the case.
Some feelings may be hurt, but those will heal.
Well, and then the question of how much, you know, time has been invested in this thing, I would say that, you know, and, you know, why there is a question of why did I, if one of the things I mentioned, and the thing that really pushed it over, I had made a lot of revisions at this person's request. I turned them in, and then I started getting messages about why these revisions weren't, I'm not going to do this one because this, I'm not going to do, and I had mentioned earlier like a little while earlier that I didn't want two jobs. You know, I had a job that I was doing already.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I had been trying to back away for a while. And I think if this person were to go through the text messages that I have, they would see me making statements like, I don't want two jobs. I don't really have a lot of time to do this. I can't really devote a lot of time to this.
Yeah.
That sort of thing first. When this person was upset with me saying that I, you know, didn't want to do things anymore, and I made the statement, and this is a true statement, but I got called out on it. So the statement I made was, I'm really thinking of this as sort of your project that I've been helping out on.
Is that how you truly felt?
Well, here's the thing. Yes. And the reason is, if this were my project, if I were doing this project, I would not have been able to work with them, because I don't work well in a collaborative process when it comes to projects like this.
Right.
Where it's somebody far away, I'm not in the same room with them, we're working online, not getting paid, eventually maybe hoping to sell this somewhere, but it's not a work situation, it's a fun free time situation.
Yeah.
And if I were in that situation with this person, and again, I'm imagining them listening to this and taking the way that I say things, and I would not have been able to collaborate with them as much as I did, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because when I take ownership of things, I mean, you've run into this before, we have a very good working relationship, but when I take a certain type of ownership of things, which is, you know, like my books, for instance, I don't work with somebody else on them.
Right.
That the same sort of situation here. So the question was, well, why did I use the term we then whenever I talked, well, what we might want to do is this and all that. And the thing that, again, I don't want to get into this conversation, but the reason that I used words like we and things like that is specifically because I did not want this person to be mad. I wanted this person to like me. I wanted them to, you know, feel as though I was invested. And this is what Jennifer said too, is that I needed to be honest. I needed to say what it was that I felt. So there's a difference between how I would write when working on stuff and my reactions after I was done. Like, you know, I imagine, if you will, that you come to the door and like you knock on my door and I say, oh, hey, Ben, how's it going?
Yeah.
And you say, hey, man, what's going on? Just wanted to know if you wanted to play some one-on-one basketball. And then I say to you, yeah, man, that'd be great. Let's play some one-on-one basketball. And we play one-on-one basketball. And I say, all right, man, see you later. And then as soon as you leave, I go back in and I say to my dog, Edward, I hate playing basketball. Why do I play basketball? Why do I do this? I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to just work on my paintings. But here I am playing basketball, like that.
Yeah.
Now you, as the guy coming over to play one-on-one basketball, are not going to know anything about the fact that I am wanting to not do this anymore.
I think you enjoy playing one-on-one basketball, and I like playing one-on-one basketball with you, so I'm going to start coming over more often and asking you.
And so one day you show up, and and you say, and this is where, and now we're going back to like 2 weeks or so. You show up and you're like, hey man, there's a one-on-one basketball tournament coming up this weekend, and I really want to go to it. And I say to you, man, I really can't go play one-on-one basketball this weekend. I got my back's hurt. I helped my dad move. Can't do it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, come on. It's going to be fun. It's one-on-one basketball. And I'm like, no, I really can't do it. And then you show up to my house on the day that the one-on-one basketball thing is and you say, come on, let's go play one-on-one basketball. And I say, fine, okay. Now, this is my fault again. I say, fine, okay. I get into the car, and we drive to the one-on-one basketball thing, and I play, and we're done, and I say, okay, see you later. And then you come over my house the next day, and you say, okay, so what do you think about playing one-on-one basketball again today? And I say, I can't play one-on-one basketball. I've been playing it for too long, and I'm tired, and I don't want to play basketball at all. I don't even know why I'm doing this. And you say, come on, man. And so, once again, I play. And you're thinking, well, he must like to grumble a lot, but he's been playing basketball this whole time. I don't see what
right.
the problem
and
is.
And I've never heard you say you didn't want to up until now. I've never heard you say that
right.
you don't enjoy it.
And then so finally you come over to my house and you say, come on, let's play basketball. And I say, I don't want to play basketball. I'd never like playing basketball. I hate it. I wish that I had never started playing basketball. Or no, I don't say that. I say I enjoyed all the time that we had playing one-on-one basketball up until this point, but now I have to bow out. Yeah. No more basketball for me. Sorry. And I'll see you later. And then I shut the door on you. And you're there holding your basketball going, what? And then so then you shout from outside, man, why did you play basketball with me all this time if you didn't want to play basketball? That doesn't make any sense. And I say, yeah, man, sorry, don't worry about it. And you say, I'm not worried about it. I just want to know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And I say, nothing, and I go to sleep. And
nobody likes being broken up with.
Now we're to where we were at, like, a day or two ago. You show up to my house and you say, hey, so there's another tournament. I was thinking we could probably go. That's the part that I was surprised about. Because he seemed to get and be upset about, understandably upset, but get the idea that I was done doing this stuff. But then he showed up again, you know, asking about, well, hey, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about this? And so I wrote a long thing. And again, we're using the basketball metaphor. I wrote a long thing
of course.
Saying, hey, look, when I was a kid, I really wanted to play basketball a lot. I like playing basketball. But now I'm doing this painting thing, and I really have to, you know, stick with painting. And it's not that I don't like you as a person. I just have to not play this anymore. And I have to stop. And that's it. And I know that you might be upset, but that's all there is to it. And then he writes back and says, well, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I know that you like playing basketball because sometimes when we were playing, you like laughed and said, I love playing basketball. So I don't know what you're talking about, but whatever, man. And then so then that I thought that was it. But now there was another thing that came out. So I'm hoping that it doesn't get too weird. But it's one of those things of it's not going to make me like doing it again. Right?
Right.
You can't get me to at this point in time, the only thing that this, like I said, I didn't even read the last text because I can't. I have stuff I need to do. Now, granted, I'm doing this podcast, which isn't the stuff that, you know. So, in fact, I'm hoping
that the person isn't listening. If so, interesting, more listeners than we've had in a really long time. But if you are listening, I am not, I want to make this very clear. I'm not choosing to do this over doing the screenwriting thing. I would be doing this regardless. The screenwriting thing is the thing that I'm stopping doing. I'm taking that out of all the other stuff that's on my
plate. It takes more time and energy for you. And this person should know that if you sort of like bowed out at this point, but you come back, you're not going to be in the game. Your heart's not going to be in the game.
Oh, yeah. And also, I'm not going to. I have a... that's the thing is, I'm hoping that this isn't an attempt, this is not an attempt to make me come back and want to work with him.
Yeah.
Because if it is, it's the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. I don't know. But I've been thinking, this is the thing, is I've been thinking about it a lot, but I've also been feeling really good about not thinking about it all the time.
The best revenge he can get on you is to just finish this screenplay and sell it to Hollywood.
That's what I said. I mean, my advice to him was to actually... Here's the thing. I have never sold a screenplay ever in my entire life. If he wants to sell screenplays, he would be better suited to find somebody who, one, has sold a screenplay, and two, wants to do the work to sell a screenplay, because neither of those two things are something that I have.
Yeah.
You know, the fun that I got out of this was him saying, hey, I've got this problem. What do you think could solve it? And me going, well, I think you could do this or you could do this. And that was good. That was fun. Right?
Yeah.
I said, I don't want to do any extra work. So spending all that time doing the extra work was not fun, number one. And then number two, when I said, I don't want to do this, all this extra stuff that's now happening absolutely makes it so that I am not in a position where I want to even have ideas bounced off me anymore. It's making me very, very standoffish. Now, again, once in case the person is listening to this, one, haven't said your name. That's number one. Number two, nobody listens to this podcast.
oh, come on.
So, well, okay, I'm sorry. But a lot of people don't. This is in no way, shape, or form going to do anything bad to your reputation. Hopefully... it makes you understand where I'm coming from. And here's the thing. If you want to say that everything that I'm saying here is wrong and incorrect, because we're dealing with my feelings and the way that I am perceiving the situation, even if I am 100% wrong, it's not going to change anything if you tell me that I am incorrect. Seriously, let me just not... be involved in this anymore.
Let me go.
Exactly. And again, I'm hoping, and please, Ben, don't indicate anything on the thing that this is a message to anyone, or, you know, I know that you won't, but in the show notes, don't say, and in case you're a collaborator with Paul, he might have a message for you here. Don't do that.
All right. But if you are, email us at bensemail@yahoo.com @gmail.com.
This is the thing that's going to suck. Just the protracted situation. I hate it.
It's all right. Everybody, I hate it. Everybody has to go through that at some point or another, where you have to tell somebody something they don't want to hear, and it's never a very good, you know. I think it depends on the maturity of both parties as to whether or not it all works out. It, you know, it won't work out. I mean, it probably won't be a smooth transition early on, but eventually everybody will, you know, be reasonable. I think.
Okay, I just got another message.
that was very reasonable, saying, hey, you don't need to write back to it right now. I just want to know. Of course, the problem, again, if you're listening to this, as I deleted the first message, so I don't know what the thing that I don't need to reply to right away is.
You just deleted it outright?
Yeah, I don't want to... I mean, otherwise it's sitting there waiting for me to read it.
Nah.
And I don't want to do it. This would be, you know, I can't explain. It's, again, when it's just me, when it's me making my own decisions about my own creative, artistic life and what I want to do with it, it's no problem whatsoever. It's when somebody else is involved. You know, this is the thing, is I understand it's somewhat their... You know, it's somewhat their business, obviously. I've been working with them on this thing.
Yeah.
So I can't say it's none of their business, but it's also not something that... I have very much written down all of my thoughts on this. So there's nothing more...
and said them that I can say. Minutes.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, there's nothing more that I... There's nothing more that I can say unless the answer needs to be different, and it's not going to be different.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what else to do with it.
Well, good luck with this conundrum that you've found yourself in.
Yeah. Now, speaking about the other thing I'm working on, so I've got through so I know about machine learning now, neural networks... I know about computer vision, how computers see.
You know all unquote. You know all about it?
Well, not all about it. Enough to pass a test on it, but it's not the same thing, obviously. I mean, we're talking this is overview, right? Also the next thing I'm doing is natural language processing. And then after I get this done, see, I'm again, this is one of those things. I'm behind because I spent a lot of time writing things out.
Well, like when you say you're doing, you know, when you say you're done with machine learning, and did you read a book? What do you mean you're done?
There are exams that I take. So I either watch a lecture or read a thing. And then I take exams on them.
Just online exams that you find when you
Google?
Yeah,
well, it's through my company. So it's a thing. Once I get done with this, there's a little badge my company
this is the work certification
puts next to my name on my internal... Yeah. Sorry, say it again?
This is the work certification thing you were talking about.
Yeah, okay. It's so that I have this extra little thing that can help me move forward. And also, it might actually help my employers as well if I can use this on the contract that we're on.
Right.
I don't want to, again, too close to my things. But basically, what I had wanted to be doing Thursday and Friday was working on actual Python programming, but I haven't gotten there yet. And... It's not great, but I can work on it during the weekend and get it done so that I want to try to get my badge by Monday, and we'll see if that happens or not. Because the thing is, I don't know how long the Python thing takes. I had to do all the prerequisites things first.
Yeah.
Before I got to that. So, but yeah, you can understand this, Ben. Well, I mean, you know me well enough. There are times when I like to just exist in, you know, heads down.
Oh, yeah.
And just do my thing.
It can be frustrating trying to deal with you.
Yeah, yeah, it can. I talked about, my friend Steve. You remember Steve? Well, maybe you don't.
Do I?
Actually, did you, real talk here, Ben. Have you ever listened to Jennifer's podcast?
Not yet.
There are three episodes? Okay.
No.
Three, I think. One of the episodes, Steve, my friend. Oh, shoot. Oh, can you beep out his last name? I'm sorry.
All right.
He just wanted to be credited as Steve. He showed up, and we talked to him. And one of the things that he brought with me, with him, sorry. So he came over. One of the things he brought with him are some old scripts. And one of the scripts is something that I worked on with someone else about. And there are handwritten notes saying anything that's written in this pen is this person's change. Anything written in this pen is Paul's change. Only look at Paul's changes.
Jeez.
And stuff like that.
It's like an old school form of track changes.
This paragraph, before you even read it, saying that I don't agree with any of the changes that this other person made to the script, and the script should be done the way that it was written, and all sorts of just, I can be a monster. I can be a jerk. It can be, you know, all that stuff. And here's the thing. At one point in time, I wanted to do this for a living. I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to do acting. I wanted to do, you know, that stuff as a job. It makes me unhappy when I do it.
Well,
it may change. I don't know. I enjoyed being on the reality show. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed being on the reality show. You don't have to do much, as far as that goes. But it can be, you know, I'm sure that if it was more popular, I would not have had as good of a time. Because then all of a sudden people are invested. When people are invested, it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Speaking about when people are invested, it becomes a problem. Ben?
Yes?
Can you check and see if there are any corrections that have come in?
Why, yes.
Within the past?
There are corrections.
Oh, good. Hey, everybody. Listen. You know, lots of times, Ben and I aren't talking about my personal problems on this. We talk about other things. World events. Stuff that is happening that may or may not be correct in the way that we're telling them. And how do we fix it? How do we correct the record so that the future people listening to this podcast to find out what life was like in the 21st century can say without a shadow of a doubt, ah, this is a historical record that I can use for my paper or my essay, my PhD, whatever. Well, there's no way to be sure. But one of the things that we've built into this podcast is an error correction system where basically we ask our listeners to write to Ben's email at yahoo.com at gmail.com and tell us what we got wrong, what we could have gotten more right, and all around making sure that the facts are the facts. And by far, the one who contributes the most to this is my wife, Jennifer Pratt, also known as Jennifer Fact Checker. She looks through, she combs through and tries to find out what we could use in this segment that we call corrections. Ding!
Well, we actually have corrections from two people. We have corrections from Jennifer Fact Checker and friend of the show, Stephen.
Oh, Stephen McCandless. Always good for him to have a correction. And also, always great to use his last name. Thanks, Stephen McCandless.
So,
okay.
I do not remember what episode we talked about Asimov's Three Laws of Robotics, but at some point in the past, we have talked about that.
Oh, of course.
And he says, at the time you suggested that the laws were insufficient as a human being could simply order a robot to murder another human and therefore contravene the first law's prohibition against robots harming humans. A couple of points here. The laws are not simply ordered, but defined as a hierarchy. They are, number one, a robot may not injure a human being or, through inaction, allow a human being to come to harm. Number two, a robot must obey the order given to it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. Number three, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second laws. The idea here is that simply ordering a robot to murder another human while in line with law number two would be contravened by law number one. That said, Asimov, being a straight-up genius, Asimov knew that these laws were not sufficient. The iRobot book series is primarily an examination of how the integration of a subordinate class is irredeemably difficult. Each book is basically an examination of a particular edge case failure of the laws. Of course, pop culture references to Asimov's laws ignore this, providing yet another brick in the ziggurat of evidence that humanity cannot be trusted, and our best bet is to become house of pets of a global AI.
And again, very similar to "We'll Make Great Pets" by Porno for Pyros, except that, of course, that is an alien doing that rather than an AI, but I still like it.
Yeah.
AI house pet. I'd still do it. I would 100% do it.
Take the blue pill.
I don't think that we posited that on the podcast, did we? I think that he was referring to a conversation we had had off mic with him maybe many years ago.
I don't remember the specific conversation we had where we suggested that robots are supposed to do what humans do or what humans tell them to, and if a human tells a robot to kill another human, then they should do that. Maybe we were talking about in terms of cars.
Oh, maybe that's it. You know what? I think that could be it.
Like a driver.
Oh, and then of course, obviously, the "except when it conflicts" is written into his laws. So like he said, that's a thing that wouldn't work.
So anyway.
Okay.
Last week, I think you may have mentioned that the microphone was dented.
Yes.
Jennifer says, "I dented the mic. I still had the headphones on and walked out of the pod, pulling the mic off the desk."
Ah, gotcha. So that's okay, well, there we go.
Mystery solved. We talked about O'Reilly's Auto Parts, and I mentioned that it used to be Shuck's Auto Parts, and just offhandedly said maybe their marketing team decided that Shuck's was too close to an expletive. One of the reasons I say that is because I remember an instance when I was in the second grade, and I said, "Oh, shucks," and another student told on me, telling the teacher that I said a bad word. I don't know why. One of my few memories from second grade, and that's it. So Shuck's Auto Parts used to be its own company. It was bought by O'Reilly's in 2008. So the rebranding was due to the acquisition, not because of any marketing concerns. Finally, we talked about Terry Jones, who had passed away either that day or the day before when we recorded. He had a form of dementia that is rare, I believe. The form of dementia he had was, I'm not going to pronounce this correctly on the first go, frontotemporal dementia.
Okay.
Sufferers lose speech very quickly, which is what happened with Terry Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And here endeth the corrections.
Well, it looks like we got through those corrections pretty unscathed, I would say. We got one of the, obviously getting one of the laws of robotics wrong could end up with the entire human race being destroyed.
If it is a robot or an AI listening to this and not a human, go easy on us. You know, we're still
learning. We didn't mean it.
Yeah.
Probably. That's something I was reminded today about the gold record that we sent out.
The Voyager 1 gold record?
That's right. Yeah. Is it Voyager 1?
It's either 1 or 2.
Yeah. Why are there two Voyagers?
Well, they sent them off in both directions. You know, you got to hedge your bets. Thinking, of course, space both, is a flat plane.
Both directions. Right, that was what I thought was hilarious.
Well, the solar system is a relative plane, right? So, you know, you send one that way, you send the other one 180 degrees the other way. There you go.
I'm sorry. I like it.
Well, perhaps there's a gold record on both.
Yeah, maybe. This is one of those situations, Ben. I gotta say, I highly dislike being preoccupied.
Are you receiving and writing texts?
No. None of it is. I am not doing anything at all as far as that goes. But it does. This is the thing. It does put it in my brain.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's one of the reasons why stopping social media when I do it is very great for me. Because otherwise, you know, I'd be thinking, like, right now, if I hadn't quit social media, I would probably be thinking about something some jerk in Milwaukee said to somebody who I don't know.
Or some clever comeback that I want to say.
Yeah, exactly. Luckily, none of that's happening. But it's made space in my brain for all other sorts of neuroses. Which, no thank you. And I can say that I'm doing a much better job than I normally would in keeping myself protected that way mentally. But it's still not 100% great. And it's too bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the thing, Ben. You can't win if you don't play with life.
Always
that is.
Skate to where the puck is going to be, not where the puck is.
Hey, wait, did you ever play hockey?
Nope. But oh. Seattle's getting a hockey team.
Oh, what, do they have a name for it yet?
Still don't care. The current theory is that the hockey team is going to be called the Kraken.
Oh, that's not bad, Ben.
It's pretty divisive. Some people hate it. Some people like it.
Oh, man, the Kraken is great.
I was kind of hoping for the Sockeyes.
Oh, that's not bad either. Yeah.
Because then, I would just call them the Sock Guys.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Also, the Sock Guys, because, you know, what do you do when you play hockey?
You get into a fight. Sock that's what I'm saying. The logo could be like this salmon with a black eye raising its fins and fists.
It makes itself.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Hey, speaking about that's not bad. Hey, Betty! Okay, she's coming.
But of course, of what I said about the puck is a famous quote by Wayne Gretzky. A lot of people attribute it not just as hockey advice, but life advice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's good advice. You know, here's something that's very interesting. I just figured out Wayne Gretzky and Tony Hawk occupy really the same space in my head.
As athletes who do sports you don't really care about?
Right, and they're very very close. Like I think of if you imagine memory palace, they'd be right in the same room, probably the same drawer even.
I feel kind of that same way about Kobe Bryant who died in a helicopter crash.
I heard about that.
And I don't really care for basketball, but if you had me name 10 basketball players, he would be one of them.
Hey, Betty, name a basketball player.
LeBron James.
All right, there you go. LeBron James. All right, let's do this. This is actually a very fun game. Think of something that Betty probably wouldn't know about and ask her to name something in that category.
Name one of the Transformers.
Optimus Prime.
Hey, there you go. That's a good one. Okay, Betty, can you tell me any Smurf?
Smurfette.
Okay, she's a Smurf. I guess that counts. Okay, Betty.
What about a Pokemon?
Oh, yeah. Any Pokemon, okay. Probably. Okay, how about this? Name a Pokemon that is dead.
Cubone's mom.
Okay, there you go. That was who I was thinking.
What about a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Yeah, can you name one of the
Raphael.
Okay, there you go. That's the good one also. Okay. Can you name a band that would be considered classic rock?
Queen?
Yeah, I'd say Queen works,
I put
right?
Queen in that.
Ben? Yeah.
Can she name one of the monkeys?
Yeah, what about one of the monkeys? From the TV show.
One of the monkeys from the TV show.
Oh, I think we've hit it, Ben.
What?
The TV show called The Monkees?
The first one, not the remake that they did in the 80s.
Oh, she wouldn't know the remake they did in the 80s at all. Can you at least describe any of them?
Well, let's see. One of them is, one of them is a little short, and he has very long arms and legs, and he has a weird-looking face, and is covered in fur, and sometimes...
Yeah, that's Davy Jones.
He has like, a very long tail, and sometimes he'll just go...
Oh, I'm sorry, that's Mickey Dolenz. My mistake. Okay, so Betty doesn't know about the monkeys. That's good.
Excellent. We found something.
Okay, Betty, here's a question for you. Can you name all of the armed forces?
What does that even mean?
Okay, that's...
Well, I think give her one and then have her fill in the rest.
What's Earth's defense system, Dad?
The goodwill of all people.
Okay.
No, okay. What's the highest rank you can get in the Navy?
Commander?
I don't even know.
I think it's Admiral.
That's what I was going to say. What about one of the original cast members of Star Trek?
I don't hear what Ben said.
Oh, what about one of the can you name one of the original cast members of Star Trek?
Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, there you go. See, look at this. They talk about kids not knowing stuff.
Well, see, the thing is, I was listening to a sports radio talk show earlier today, and one of the hosts did not know who Fozzie the Bear was.
What?
And she's probably Fozzie between 24 and 30.
We might have done this joke once before for Ben, but I'm going to do it with Betty, and we're going to see if she gets it. I think you'll know what we're doing. What have I become, my Swedish friend? Isn't it great?
My empire. That's awesome. Makes for good
I can't believe Trent Reznor should do it. The Muppets would do it with him. That's a T-shirt. Trent Reznor should do it. That's all it says.
Frick.
The Muppets should do it with Trent Reznor.
Here's one last thing, and it's of interest to both of you, maybe. Ben, have you played Jackbox games before?
I have.
And you know what happens. You're on your computer device and you enter in jokes and then it shows up on the screen.
I'm bored.
People vote and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave.
Okay, see you, Betty.
Bye, Dad.
Bye.
Bye, Betty.
So here's my thought. All of that information is probably stored somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? Shouldn't it be?
I think that's... should it be? I don't know. But it definitely is an example of machine learning.
Well, that's the question is, I mean, all those jokes, all that data.
It's farming. I mean, because it gives you the games that I've played where it asks you, like, name an insect that you would rather have eradicated, that you would like eradicated from the planet, right?
Yeah.
And then you put in insects and it gives you the other players three options and they have to guess what you picked.
Yeah.
That's the version of the game that I played. But in doing so, it builds a library of insects.
Right, exactly. And so if they aren't doing this, it's a real wasted opportunity. And so I wrote to them, actually, and I asked them kind of what they have, you know, if their data is available.
And we'll see what they write back. Now, I'm worried that they might think I'm a reporter, and then they're going to say, we don't do anything with that, sir.
Yeah, well, no, but, you'll have to talk to our public relations department.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens. But other than that, I guess we're kind of nearing the end. Besides Kobe Bryant dying in a... Was it a helicopter crash?
It was a helicopter crash, yeah.
Any other news?
Nothing too big that I know of. Just, you know, everything. The one news story that's flooding the airwaves is the impeachment trial in the Senate, but that seems to be never ending.
Oh, okay. So that's still happening?
Still happening.
Yeah, because I don't...
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, there you go. The future people. Hey, that's something that we can start with, I think that we're past 200 episodes now. Hey, future people is a good idea, I think.
Sure.
We're a time capsule, Ben. We're a tiny time capsule. Yeah, and it's pretty great.
If you want to spend an hour a day listening to this show, you'll be done in just under a year.
Oh, and that's something else that I just learned about. How much for every like second that passes... astronomically larger amount of video is uploaded to YouTube.
Yeah, it's insane how much video is uploaded there.
So it really is. It's just funny to think about it time wise that we won't be able to watch it all. It just boggles my mind a little bit.
And judging by my numbers on YouTube, nobody watches anything.
And with that,
and with
Ben,
that,
I will talk to you next week.
Do me a favor and keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong, Ben.
All right. Talk
to you later.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.